Greg Pogue, John Burton, Patton Cook. We're all hanging out here in the Striking Spare Family Fun Center. It's presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Gog and Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Let's go to the F&M Bank phone line and Coach Tom Hodges.
Coach Tom Hodges, I know that you have wined and dined with kings and queens. You've also slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans. You know about hard times in this country, Daddy. You're bringing the heat on the NBA Finals.
John Burton, I know for a fact you've wrestled alligators and you've tussled with whales. You've handcuffed lightning and you put thunder in jail. Greg Pogue has injured a rock and he's hospitalized bricks. He's so bad he makes medicine sick. How are we doing this morning?
Don't drag me into this. What was that line? I'm so bad that I make medicine sick.
Yeah, that was old Ali promo.
That one,
yeah.
Old Muhammad, right there,
that's,
baby.
That's right, baby.
The ultimate promo.
Coach, I got to start with this. This is incredible on these jabroni talking head shows on the Four Letter Network.
What are they called?
Jabroni talking head shows. The this guy versus this guy fake argument show. They actually have a topic. Would you rather have Giannis's one ring or Durant's two, given the way each guy got their rings? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, those type of topics are fodder for exactly what you said, John. Talking head shows that really can't generate enough content other than to either talk about Mount Rushmores or super teams versus homegrown teams. I tell you what, it's hard to beat what Giannis and Chris Middleton, that scene after the game last night, the culmination of an eight-year friendship and an eight-year partnership in one of the smallest markets in the NBA, guys. Really a neat scene that we were all privileged enough to witness.
And given all that, Coach, I mean, given what we said, I mean, two rings is always better than one. Durant doesn't care. He's got an MVP and two championships and maybe more to come with the Nets. But like you said, when you look at Giannis deciding to stay in Milwaukee, you know, not going to join a super team, which he talked about last night. You know, the fact that they were, you know, I mean, how about his last 3 years? MVP, MVP, championship, finals MVP. You know, the fact that this was more of a homegrown team than a put-together super team winning a championship. It is kind of refreshing, given today's landscape of the NBA, no?
No doubt about it, John. And let's not, I mean, Giannis isn't suffering. I mean, he got a supermax contract.
Right.
So things are working out for him. But
they seem to be, yeah.
It is nice to see the loyalty factor and that get rewarded. Things just really fell in line for this team throughout the year and in through the playoffs. And they got blessed with a really good matchup for them in this NBA Finals against a Suns team that was built for speed. Built for really high flying game and the Milwaukee Bucks, and a credit to their coaching staff and their roster, were able to win four straight and now sit atop of the basketball mountain.
Coach Tom Hodges with us. Giannis is good. Just want to say that.
Yeah. Where does that performance last night rank all time in the NBA Finals? I mean, 50, 14, and 5 blocks. Yeah, not bad.
Well, I mean, even put in perspective of his finals performances. So he's one of only four players to have three 40-point games in the finals. So he's up there with Michael Jordan, Shaq, and LeBron James. And now Giannis is added to that list, guys. And what makes it so interesting to me is how he gets it done. Everybody in that arena, everybody tuning in from home, knows exactly where he's about to go and knows exactly what he's about to try to do. Guys, he was 15 for 19 inside the paint last night. He was 1 for 6 outside the paint. So, and then goes 17 for 19 from the free throw line. And it's not like the scout's not out there for anybody to see. He's going to the rim. It's just a matter of can you stop it. And quite honestly, the Suns didn't have two guys that could stand in his way consistently and keep him from getting to the rim.
When he goes downhill, he's unstoppable, right?
He's a runaway freight train, man. He's like LeBron in his prime.
Yeah, he's such a combination of size, physicality, and nimbleness. His footwork, when he gets into his spin moves, he can go left, he can go right. He has the length to kind of scoop it up and under or go over the top with a dunk. So it's really tough. He made DeAndre Ayton look silly a couple times, guys, because Ayton was standing there kind of envisioning a train getting ready to come your way, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. The Suns tried to double a time or two, but it proved futile, and a 50-point game-clinching, final-clinching victory to put the cherry on top of the ice cream.
Coach Tom Hodges, at Coach Tom Hodges on Twitter, on the F&M Bank phone line. Devin Booker last night, 8 of 22 from the field, missed all 7 three-pointers. Holiday, I guess what that old saying, greeted him when he got off the bus. But certainly when he's not knocking down shots, it really makes it difficult on other Suns to get stuff done.
There's no doubt about it. As I was watching that game last night, Greg, really, to me, in a big picture sense, as a coach, you just say, okay, who's having an easier time scoring? The ease of offense quotient. So it was just apparent the Milwaukee Bucks, even though they weren't, they had the great first quarter and then the second and third, you know, especially the Suns had a great second quarter, but the ease of offense quotient starting out of halftime, man, the Suns had to grit and grind out every basket, it seemed. And the Bucks were just having their way. They might not have been making every shot, but their shots that they were getting were a lot easier. And so Drew Holiday was the catalyst for Booker and Chris Paul. And then you throw in P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker's physicality and Drew Holiday's physicality on the perimeter defensively. The way the Milwaukee Bucks cleaned the glass, I mean, they absolutely annihilated the Suns on the glass last night, guys. It was 53-37, I think. I mean, they just owned them on the glass. And the way the Suns play, the Suns have to play fast. They have to get out. They have to get in transition. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to be able to rebound the ball, and you've got to force long twos. So if they can force long twos, they get long rebounds and can lead into their transition game. The Bucks absolutely lived inside the paint last night or were playing outside the three-point line, and it was detrimental to the Suns' offensive attack.
What about the Suns, Tom? You know, they were up 2-0 in this series. Looked like, you know, we were thinking sweep, maybe gentleman sweep. Where did it go wrong for them after going up 2-0?
Yeah, I really think once the game shifted to Milwaukee, the physicality of the series got on their back, and they just couldn't overcome it.
The refs helped out too, right? They kind of swallowed their whistles the last four games.
It was certainly physical. My wife sitting there last night, we're watching the game. She said, "When did that become not a foul?" I said, well, it's been this way this whole series, you know. I mean, yeah. So I probably would have had to bail her out of jail if she was coaching either one of those teams last night, because the physicality in those games just got to a point where it was the Phoenix Suns' backbreaker. And I was watching the game, and I'm thinking every junior high or elementary basketball coach should be watching this game right now, because no matter at the highest level, you still got to box out. You still got to rebound. You still got to defend. Doesn't matter where you're playing. And there were some. I can remember a specific possession where Pat Connaughton. There were four orange jerseys in the lane, and Connaughton just sweeps in and gets an offensive rebound, extends a play.
Yeah, I
and
saw that.
Knocked down a big three. That's a huge possession, and in an NBA Finals, the ability or the want to rebound has to be there, and the Bucks just owned them on the glass, and by owning the paint, owning the glass, now they're ultimate NBA champions.
Coach Tom Hodges with us as well. Chris Paul, although the numbers may not suggest it, I thought he hit a bit of a wall. Do you sense that? Did you sense that?
I thought so. The numbers certainly took a dip for him, but just the ball handling. I felt like his ball handling almost was loose Something was askew there. The last couple, two, three games, very uncharacteristic turnovers, and most of them were ball handling turnovers. They weren't passing turnovers. They were, the ball was outside of his shoulders. He was going for a crossover, and it wasn't tight to his body. Very uncharacteristic for a first ballot Hall of Famer that Chris Paul is. But quite honestly, it was kind of hard to watch because he's worked so hard to get to the NBA Finals, and to see him in that light, knowing the Suns could only win with him at his best and Devin Booker at his best. And quite honestly, we've seen Chris Paul play much, much better than he did in this NBA Finals.
Tom, I've been asking this question all morning. I asked Greg earlier. I asked Brad Powers. I'll ask you. Had a buddy of mine in New York basically go on the air today and say, you know, the Bucks are an outlier. They took advantage of, you know, unusual circumstances last year, bleeding into this year, shortened seasons, all these superstars getting hurt. They're basically an outlier champion. You know, he compared them to the Raptors from a couple of years ago, the Dallas Mavericks from about a decade ago. Greg and I kind of disagree with that. I'm curious to know where you're at with that.
Well, it's interesting. So the odds makers come out with the odds for next season, and generally speaking, your defending champion sits atop that. Well, the Bucks are the third favorite the day after they win the NBA championship. So there's something to that possibly. I think the league needs, this is a very important off season for the NBA to really heal up and reset their schedule. That being said, I would put them not with an asterisk, but with two gold stars, because they made it through. They were the ones that traversed everything. And let's not forget that horrific injury, that hyperextension that Giannis went through. Didn't even know if he was going to be available for game one of these finals. So I would tend to think their championship should have even more emphasis placed on it, because they were the ones that were able to see it all through. Take nothing away from what this Bucks team did and how they made it through with their entire roster intact. And really, guys, they look like they could play another 3, 4, 5 games watching that team last night. They really found a nice rhythm.
All right. Team USA, of course, Middleton, Booker, Holiday still will come later. That team left with only 8 of their 12 players. I know Zach LaVine is in protocol. Will Team USA win the gold at the Olympics, or will there even be an Olympics? Let's ask that.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're the 3-time defending gold medalist team. Will it be 4 in a row for Team USA?
It's hard to pick against them, quite honestly. Now, this is a vastly different Team USA than we have seen. And just the somewhere Shaq is laughing by JaVale McGee's inclusion on this year's team.
JaVale McGee.
So it's going to be interesting, guys. I'd put them as a very slim favorite to medal. And once if they can make it to the medal round, then everything goes. But they were playing better toward the end of their exhibition contest. And like we said last week, at the end of the day, they've got Kevin Durant, they've got Dame Lillard, they've got Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton coming off an NBA championship. At the end of the day, they've got the most talented roster. It's just a matter of can Pop and staff get them on the same page and play as a unit. I would still have them as the favorite, but gone are the days of 20, 30, 40-point blowouts in the Olympics. It's going to be very, very close, and should have some good basketball.
Where does Damian Lillard end up?
Well, that's a great question.
Say it, Coach. Say it, Coach.
So I
make my
John
day, Coach.
He wants him in the concrete jungle, wants him in the garden. But it's going to be interesting. I think the way this Olympics shapes out for Dame Lillard and some of those relationships on that USA team might have some bearing on where he ends up. Could he possibly end up with the Lakers, the ultimate doomsday for a lot of NBA fans if he ends up in a large market team with the Lakers, which is being proposed. So I don't know. Personally, I'm with John. I would like to see him in Madison Square Garden wearing the blue and orange for the Knicks. I think that could propel the NBA even to another stratosphere, especially in the Eastern Conference. I think his game translates to the Eastern Conference a little bit better. But it's going to be interesting. No matter what, because of his contract extension, he's still got 4 years left on that extension that he signed a couple years ago. The Blazers will have some say-so in this, but ultimately Dame Lillard's going to dictate how this plays out. And if I'm Chauncey Billups, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not talking with my superstar and franchise cornerstone.
Just going on over to Tokyo and hanging out with him, huh? Stephen A., by the way.
I find something to do there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you want to go there now, quite frankly. But anyway, Coach Tom Hodges, that's how you follow him on Twitter all season long. And, of course, we'll always dip back in when basketball comes up or just life questions. By the way, if my daughter Grace, and everybody knows Tom is married to Hillary, two-time state champ, more than that, but at several schools. Anyway, great basketball coach, okay? And the better basketball coach in the family, and everyone knows that, and Tom admits it. But if my daughter would call my wife and say, hey, Mom, what are you doing? And if she said, I'm sitting here with your father watching the NBA Finals with the Bucks, and she would think, and the Suns, my daughter would probably thought that I had drugged my wife or tied her up. You got a good one there.
Well, we're pretty cheap dates, guys. All we need is a dry erase board, a couple of Expo markers. We're pretty cheap dates when it comes to our entertainment, and love watching basketball. Certainly, you said it right, Greg. She is the real Coach Hodges.
Well, and don't you have like a little shot chart that you're doing, there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. it's an analytic dream to live in our household, especially during the NBA Finals, NBA playoffs, and March Madness.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, man.
Ooh yeah, dig it.
Cooking and smoking, Daddy.
And what am I? I make medicine sick.
Yeah,
that's nice.
You're so bad you make medicine sick.
Oh, man. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
Coach Tom Hodges. Oh, my Lord. Hey.